Good evening. Welcome to Amherst Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you with us tonight as we celebrate Christmas, but in a slightly different way today. Do you ever get bored with your average day-to-day existence? I sure do. Well, I should say I did, so I decided to do something about it. You see, conventional wisdom says that you live your life, and when you get older, your parents pass away, and they leave you whatever they have left, an inheritance. Well, I'm sorry, that's not good enough for me. I mean, come on. Give me the money now so I can really enjoy it. So here's what I did. I walked up to my dad, and I said,
Dad, this is my youngest son. Don't forget this now, okay? He says, give me what's coming to me. I'm looking at him. I'm like, I'm about to give you what's coming to you. But no, I love the kid. Okay, he's my son. I love him. So what can I do? I hand over his inheritance. A little while later, he starts packing up his things, stuffing it into his bags. And before I know it, the next thing...
I was out of there. Kiss that boring place goodbye. There was a whole world out there waiting for me to discover it. And so the first thing I did...
He gets lost. I tell you the truth. Four times before he even gets out of his own hometown.
It was only three times. And it doesn't matter, does it? No. Oh, well, it's not the point. The point is, I did get out of town. I left my hometown, and I began to really live it up. I had more friends than I knew what to do with. I was wearing the best clothes money could buy. I was eating like a king. And the ladies. What can I say about the ladies?
Let me tell you what I would say about the ladies. There were no ladies. There might have been females among them, but there were no ladies. So let's not talk about the ladies.
All right. None of them were ladies. I got it. But the friends, the clothes, the food, it was awesome. Until
he ran out of the dough. You see, there was a recession in the country at that time as well.
I couldn't find work anywhere. I tried. I searched and I searched. I really tried. I just couldn't find anything until finally, I found a job as a manager. not exactly a manager. I was kind of like the assistant to the manager.
No.
Okay. I was a bacon preparation assistant.
Which means exactly?
I took care of pigs. I couldn't believe what my life had come to. I had wasted everything my father had given me. I wasn't making any money to speak of. I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have anything to eat. There were days that I gladly would have eaten those disgusting scraps I was feeding to the pigs, but I couldn't. They wouldn't let me. So with hunger pangs as a constant reminder of how I had squandered my life away, I lived a life of misery. Day after day,
I would wait, and I would watch, and I would wonder, would he be coming back to me? My heart ached as only a father could for his son. But the most important thing is I never gave up on him. Never. Other people, they wrote him off. But I knew one day
it hit me. In my father's house, the lowliest worker was living better than I was. They had a place to live. They had plenty to eat. They were living like kings compared to me. And so I wondered, What if
he never comes to his senses? What if he never does come back? What if, and it aches my heart to even think this, what if I would never see my son again?
Again and again, I played things over in my mind as I made that long journey back to my father's house.
And I would think, just maybe today he would be back. Perhaps today would be the day when I would look out there and I'd see him coming home.
Home. That word means so much to me. care, compassion, acceptance, belonging, love. And here I was, just a few hundred yards away from it.
It was a beautiful day. I was sitting there on my front porch, my feet propped up, looking out at the blue sky. And then I saw him.
I saw him on the porch. He stood up from his chair, trying to get a better look at me. He squinted his eyes and looked in my direction, and I wondered what he was thinking. I wondered how he felt about me. Would he tell me, "I told you so"?
I told you so! I told you he'd be back. Nobody else believed it, but I knew it. I never gave up on him. I knew it, that I would see him again. I told you so.
I just knew he would be angry. The closer I got to home, the more I knew I had made the wrong decision. So I stopped.
He just stood there.
I couldn't move.
I couldn't just stop and stand there. So?
He jumped. My father literally jumped off the porch. He was so excited. He looked like a kid excited about something, and I realized he was excited about me. So what did I do?
You know what I did?
I ran.
I ran with my heart pounding. I ran to him as fast and as hard as I possibly could.
I had never seen him run so fast. He had his arms out to say, "Welcome home."
"Welcome home," I screamed. I was so far away, he couldn't possibly have heard me. But I kept on running, and as the distance grew closer and closer and closer, I could see there were tears running down his face.
He was crying.
I had tears of joy. You know what I did? I watched him as I came closer. You know what he did?
I jumped. I really jumped. I was so scared. I was so excited. I was so I jumped. And do you know what my father did?
I fell backwards. He's a big boy.
He hugged me. He embraced me like only a father can. "I'm so sorry," I said. "Will you forgive me? I don't deserve to be called your son."
"My son, he's back. It's time for us to have a meal. No, even a feast. Get some clothes for this boy because he stinks. Get some food in this boy's stomach because he's obviously scrawny and hungry. But he is back. He is back, and I knew he would be back. Let's celebrate because our hopes and our dreams have come true."
You know, I think it was hope that kept me going. A hope that my father would have mercy on me. A hope that in some way he would take me back. A hope that somehow I would be forgiven.
Forgiven? Of course you're forgiven. There's no blame. There's no shame. I'll never even mention it again. "I love you, my son. I've waited for this moment ever since you've left. Forgiveness is yours. For my son was lost, but now he is found." The story of Christmas begins with this baby who is given by God the Father. But so we don't mix up our analogies, Jesus Christ is not the prodigal. He is the one who has come to save the prodigal. What does the Father in heaven do so that you and I could be forgiven, can be forgiven? What is the great thing that the Noel sings of that first night? The great thing that God has done was that he sent his son into this world to seek and to save the lost. And to bring redemption to the prodigal son and the prodigal daughter. To bring hope where there's hopelessness. To bring healing where there's a torn heart. To bring satisfaction where there's emptiness. I've had a conversation recently with somebody who does not believe in that hope. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. So this season, what does it mean without him? Without that understanding, what does it mean? It's very easy to see with that kind of mindset how the world turns towards this secularism and materialism and this hopeless abandon to just getting stuff. In that way, so many of us, even within this place, we're prodigals. We're wanderers. We've wandered so far away from the true representation of who Jesus Christ is. And even if we come into a place like this every week, or every day for that matter, and we don't really center ourselves on who the person of Jesus Christ is, who that little baby comes to be, if we don't center on that person, it all falls very flat. So who is this person? Well, our Advent candle, as we have been going through it, we've seen Jesus as the prophet. See how that works in? We see the priest. We see the king. We see the shepherd. And each one of those has such a significance to us in our personal lives. The prophet who speaks the word of truth into our lives, who speaks truth to us and gives us hope. The priest who has taken away the sins of the world. The one that we've studied in Hebrews in this church, where the high priest, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, has not only done the sacrifice, but he has given himself as sacrifice. Because he's the only one that could do that. And see, when we just look at Jesus as being some guy, some man, some good prophet, some person like myself that's just maybe a little step higher, we completely undo the reality of who Jesus Christ is and can be for you tonight. The high priest, Jesus Christ, grows up from that tiny little baby, and he lives a perfect and holy life. And that holy Son of God, born only of woman and by the Spirit of God himself, lives with no nature of sin. He lives with no sinfulness in his life. He does not trespass against the law of God. And because of that, he is able to one day go to the cross and die for my sin. The significance of the cross begins at the stable, at the manger. The prophet, the priest, the king, and the shepherd of our souls. But ultimately is this. This last candle is an interesting one, and Scott mentioned a little bit about it this morning in the service. That Messiah to come, the anointed one. These are all parts of being the anointed one. But there was only one, who would ever be anointed Messiah, Savior of the world. And that would be Jesus Christ. He was anointed by the voice of angels to Mary on that night, to Joseph on his given night. And again, once again, when he was actually born there in Bethlehem, it was proclaimed, the anointed one has come. The angels declared it, first in a singular voice, and then in a multitude before the shepherds. The anointed one has come to be your prophet who will speak the truth to your hearts, to be the priest who will take away the sins of all of your heart, to be the king of your desires, to be the shepherd of your heart and your ways, to be the caretaker, this anointed one. Growing to know him over these years and decades of my life, you understand that the more you get to know him, the more you realize there's more to know. There is no end to the great journey, the exciting expectation of living in Jesus Christ. And so when we gather together tomorrow and tonight and throughout this season, and we center ourselves on the person of this anointed one, we're bringing back memories of all these things that we have been taught and told over the years, things that we have perhaps even shoved aside in our minds and made lesser in our minds, lesser in our hearts. We've made it to be pretty insignificant sometimes. But that anointed one hasn't given up. Remember the Father? The Father is waiting and watching and wondering. Perhaps this is the day. Perhaps this is the day. This Christmas Eve is the day that my son, my daughter will come back to me. Perhaps this is the day. And we hold off and we stop and we stand because it's not imaginable that Father God, that Jesus Christ himself would take us back after all that we have done. And he's like, that's exactly what I'm about. That's exactly what I'm here for. I came as a baby to forgive you. I went to the cross to forgive you. I lived a life in perfection so that I may bring you to the Father God to forgive you, to reconcile you, to bring you together with God the Father. And so tonight, as we gather together and as we sing these songs and as we consider what it is that God has done, oh, this great night, this Noel, this first meeting of God here on this earth, let's be centered in who he really is. Let's remember this person, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the prophet, priest, king, and shepherd, the one who has come to take away your sin, and holds out his arms and says, welcome back. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to turn your heart to me. Father God, tonight, we lay ourselves before you, figuratively, Lord, because we know that you have the great sense of what our lives should be. You are sovereign over all things. This Messiah, this King, this sovereign of our lives. And you have been good to us. You have poured your grace upon us, O God, from days of ancient past to this very day. Glory to your name, O God. And we dedicate ourselves as a church and as a people to celebrate the very person and name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and stepping out of eternity, out of heaven, to come and to be with us and to walk among us and to die on our behalf. Blessed be your name, our God, our King, our great shepherd, our high priest, our great prophet. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house together tonight, to recognize that this birth of a baby was so much more, that you have provided for us a way to be reconciled to you, that this prophet, priest, and king that you brought, our Messiah, makes a way possible for us. We pray that we wouldn't get so wrapped up in packages or in the garbage that gets thrown out tomorrow because of all the packages, but that we would be wrapped up in you, aware of your presence and power, your provision, your salvation, and your call on our lives individually to respond to you. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. If there are any here who have questions about who you are, I pray that you would stir them to not set that aside, not walk away from it, but to ask those questions and to read your word and to be changed by your Spirit, that we might be the people you created us to be in relationship with you, serving you, bringing you glory, building your kingdom. Lord, thank you for this time of worship tonight, of singing praises, of singing of your glory, of singing of the Christ child, our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.